to encourage us of how we live with one another. Now, he's going to talk to us personally. This is what we need to do. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is going to be the theme of today's lesson. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and in everything, give thanks. It's a great set of verses. 12 through 18 is a great set of verses. But do we rejoice always? Do we pray without ceasing? Do we give thanks in everything? Rejoice always just means I have a heart that is just joyful for what the Lord has done for me. I'm not just joyful for silly things. I'm joyful, a deep-seated joy for what the Lord has done for me. Praying without ceasing, that just simply means when situations come up in your day, I pray about it. You know, it's our first reaction when something comes up and I don't know. Little things, big things, pray about it. And in everything, give thanks. Which one do you think is the hardest? Just curious, all those three.
Maybe
thankful.
Thankful? I say
rejoicing. Rejoicing? See, you all gave me a different answer. That's probably true. For me, it's probably giving thanks in everything. I don't have a hard time rejoicing. I don't have a hard time praying about things that come to mind, but there are times, what is there to give thanks for in this situation? I'll have that come up. But we're all different. All right. Why does the Lord think this is something we can do? Is it our nature to do these three things?
No way.
No, it really isn't. When you let your spiritual walk slip, those are the three things. We don't rejoice, we stop praying, and we absolutely don't give thanks in everything. Well, there's two reasons that we can. Number one, it's a command. Why? It says in verse 18 that it is God's will for me to do this. Whenever anyone comes up to you and says, I don't know what God's will is for my life, show them these verses. There's one verse over, one chapter over in 1 Thessalonians 4:3 that says, for this is the will of God for your sanctification that you abstain from sexual immorality. That's God's will. God's will has nothing to do with, well, I don't know what car I should get. It really doesn't. These are the things that are important to God. He will guide you in those areas. But if you want to know what God's will is for your life, be godly in whatever you choose to do with your life. I remember I had a choice of two jobs to do. I was offered two teaching jobs right out of college on the very same day. And I had to make the decision the next day. And then one was Axtell, Nebraska, and one was Polk, Nebraska. Really far away from each other. Didn't know either one. I thought, the decision I make will really determine a different path, no matter what I choose. I chose one. I prayed about it and chose one. The Lord, you know, I don't think, oh, I should have taken it. No, God's will for me was to be godly in Polk, Nebraska. That's what I chose. Secondly, we can't do this just because God commands it. Look at the last three words, in Christ Jesus. That's the only way we can do that. What does in Christ Jesus mean? That just simply means if we have a personal relationship with the Lord, if we are truly saved, these three commands are possible. I didn't say automatic. They are possible. And we can train ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit to think this way. There is no other way I can do that. An unbeliever can't say, oh, I can rejoice always. I can. They can't do it. I'm sorry, they can't do all that. It's only in Christ Jesus. We're going to focus on the third command today, and everything, give thanks. But I think you will find the reasoning that I give for giving thanks will apply to praying without ceasing and also praying, applying to rejoicing always. Okay, when I read Bridges' book on my chapter, the first sentence about giving thanks in all things that he wrote was, because God is sovereign and wise, we can trust him. That was the first sentence he wrote about giving thanks. So, when is my trusting God ever in question? When do I waver sometimes in trusting God? We've talked about it. This isn't hard. This is easy. One answer. When don't I trust him as much? Or it gets tested. Trust. Thank you. That was, you passed. So. Trials, trying times. There are trying times can come in minor areas. My kid has the flu. My husband is away on a business trip and the car broke down. I forgot that I was supposed to pick up my neighbor's kids from school. I'm just having a bad day. Usually what I call minor issues are, they're usually resolved in 24 hours. 24 hours it's usually resolved. How about the more difficult times? Times that are major life-altering events. A spouse or you lost a job. Someone dear to you or you have cancer. You have a prodigal child. There was an unexpected death of someone near to you. These are things that don't get resolved in 24 hours. What do all these difficult times have in common? I know you don't know what I'm thinking. So what do all these things that happen that we would call major trials, what do they have in common?
They're given to us by the Lord.
They're given to us by the Lord. You're being way too godly.
We have not expected.
We unexpected, someone said. Not what I had planned. This is not what I had planned. So it throws us for a loop. Yes, it's given to you by the Lord, and hopefully we come to that conclusion. But for the most part, God, you gave me this husband, and now he's dying of cancer. We're moving, you know. Then you think, am I in God's will? Can I be thankful? All those things go through our mind. It's not something you thought you were going to have to deal with in your life. We think we are in control of our lives, but we are not. We're going to talk a little more about that later. It simply means that God is working, and we have to trust his plan for my life. I say this often. If something is going on in your life that you didn't plan, who's working? God. Because if I planned it, then, you know, it doesn't seem like God's working. That if I'm doing something and he takes me 90 degrees this way, then he's working. Probably very few of us are living the lives we thought we would be living. As a believer, that's a good thing. I know you ladies don't like change that much, but it is a good thing. God brings change into our lives, and that change, whether a major trial or a small trial, has a spiritual purpose for our lives always. Always. There's never any accidents when it comes to that. So, James 1 says, and let's go ahead and turn there, even though you know this, verse number 2. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. And I'll just say the basic statement, quit trying to think you're going to be the exception. When you encounter various trials means when. It does not mean if. We will all encounter trials. So if you're sitting there going through a major trial, you're not alone. And the Lord is working. Now, I have this specifically written here. You guys are saying right now, Chris, you're not supposed to be talking about trials. You're supposed to be talking about giving thanks always. This is the basis for that. Well, I don't have to really encourage you to give thanks when things are going well. Usually we are pretty good about that. But sometimes we can take credit for good times, like I was a good organizer, I thought ahead. Remember the Israelites, their shoes didn't wear out. They forgot to give thanks for that. But when trials come, we need to retrain ourselves to thinking of these questions. If you are on a trial right now, this is what we need to think. How can I give honor and glory to God during this time? I'm trying to do that. When something comes along that I hadn't planned, how can I give God honor and glory to God during this time? Do you know how quickly I can come up with an answer? Almost immediately. If I stop, I'm going through a trial, and we have to work through these trials. We have to figure out what we need to do during the trials. But if I stop and think, how can I honor God? It's amazing how many things come to my mind. What will that do to my mind? It's going to renew it, and it's going to start making me thankful, and I'm going to be able to rejoice. So, first, I need to trust God. That's what honors him. You know, if I'm thinking, what's the first thing I can do? First of all, trust God in the situation. That's just automatic. So, how do I know what is the evidence that I'm trusting God at all times? Well, here's what we get to our subject. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. If I have a thankful heart in a trying time, it's obvious God is doing that for you. Go back to James 1. It says, consider it all joy, rejoice always, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. And I've got it. You don't have to do this. You know, when a pastor says, now underline this, now circle this, you don't have to do this. But I circle knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. In Jesus Christ, we can see beyond the trial. The unbeliever cannot. He has a reason. We can't consider it all joy if we don't know what God is doing with my faith during that time. That's why it's good that it says knowing. I can consider everything joy, even various trials, because I know this. What do we know? It knows that the testing of my faith is producing stuff in me. It's producing maturity. So isn't that exciting that we can, that's the reason we can give thanks. That's the reason we can count it all joy, because we know that this trial is going to produce endurance and we're going to be mature. That's what perfect means. And I'm not going to be lacking in anything. I grow during those times. So, facts about being thankful. I like getting it straight and forward. Being faithful is not a natural virtue. Do I hear an amen? It's not natural. Turn to Colossians 3 while I tell you some things here. It's not easy. It's easy and not necessarily all that godly to be thankful for a present that we have been wanting. Or see, we can see videos of anybody getting new cars and they're so thankful and excited. But in Christ Jesus, we can be thankful at all times. Being thankful is a fruit of the Spirit, and being thankful is been given to us by God through salvation. Now, Colossians 3, starting in 12, talks about when we become believers. So as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, he's identifying who we are. Okay, we're believers. Put on. This is what is going to change. Now that we are a believer, these things can be put on. A heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let peace, the peace of Christ, rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. That's added to all these things that if we're chosen in God, that we have the capability of doing through the Spirit. We just have to put it on. How do you put it on? How do you put on all these things? When he says put it on, you can talk back at me. How do I put that on? Have you ever thought about that? Yeah, I know we're supposed to do it, but how do I put it on?
We dwell on the things that the Lord is in the Word.
You have to dwell on that so your reaction is that way. You have to think about it. You have to have a plan. It's not easy. Thankful falls in that category. All right, number two, thankfulness is an admission of dependence. Turn to Luke 17. When you are thanking someone, think about what you're doing. You are acknowledging that someone did something for you. Say, I needed some water and someone brought me some water. Someone did something for you that you appreciate. I became dependent on what they did for me. I needed some water. That need was met. I became dependent on what they did for me, and I humble myself to acknowledge them by thanking them. You realize every time you thank someone, you acknowledge that you were dependent on that person for that particular thing, and I humble myself by thanking them. No wonder it's such a godly characteristic, why God wants us to have it. All right, let's talk. Let's read through this Luke 17, 11 through 19. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, this is Jesus, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They're going through a trial. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And it's interesting that they put that in there. Samaritans were one of those that Jews didn't want to associate with. And usually the person that has the most to be forgiven usually is the most thankful. Well, we all have a lot that we need to be forgiven. Then Jesus answered him and said, "Were not the 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they?" Jesus really appreciates a thankful heart. "Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Not from leprosy, but now he's saved. That's the faith that's made him well. So it's a great example of someone who turned around, gave God glory, and was thankful. I'm seeing rejoicing, giving God glory, giving God honor, and thankfulness going hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. The one leper expressed humility and true biblical thankfulness by coming back to Jesus and falling at his feet, giving God glory while giving thanks. You can't be humble without being thankful. Being thankful is a vital attribute to humility and dependence on a trustworthy God. Point number 3. Not being thankful is an attribute of an unbeliever. Go ahead and turn to Romans 1. I'm going to have you turn to both these places because it's good to see this. We know what Romans 1's about. Talks about how man's sinful nature, and it's pretty bad when it's let to run amok. And then God turns them over to their sin. But this is in the middle of all this. Romans 1, 21, "For even though they knew God," meaning everyone knows God, even if they're a believer or they aren't, "for even if they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks." What a unique comment in this description of unbelievers. That's the only thing they mentioned about them, that they did not honor God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. I think that makes it pretty important. You don't have to turn to 2 Timothy 3. I will read that. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful." That's one of the characteristics of the men in the last times. So it's serious. And if you're not very thankful, it's a sign you may not be saved. Wow. Good to think about. So how can I cultivate thankfulness? We just don't want to suck it up and be thankful. You know, you could be sarcastically thinking, "Oh, I just wrecked my car. I guess I'm supposed to be thankful. Chris told me I'm supposed to be thankful." You know, that's not what we're looking for, nor is that what God's looking for. We want to be thankful biblically, and how we get there has to be according to how Christ would want us to be thankful. It's just not a matter of pulling it up by the bootstraps. The number one thing in the Bible I find is sing biblical songs. Even if you can't hold a tune, sing biblical songs. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ richly," you can turn to Ephesians 5, I want you to turn there. But Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Maybe you guys can finish this for me. "Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And a lot of you have mentioned that as great therapy when you are down. You go to the Psalms. You start singing some hymns. I didn't say just hymns, biblical songs. One of the advantages of being in the music ministry, and I may sing songs according to the French horn line, but I still sing songs. And it's amazing how when you practice it, I wake up every single morning with a song that we are doing Sunday morning in my head. I don't train myself to do that, but that's what the practice of that. But I really like that line, singing with thankfulness, not just because I'm supposed to, from the heart, in the heart to God. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Just great advice right there. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I'd like to see that down the hall. Someone start singing to one another in psalms and hymns. Singing and making melody with your heart. Oh my goodness, that's twice now. We're singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. What's next? Always giving thanks. They're inseparable. And it's kind of cool to see how all that works. So as I'm singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And I'd say almost 100% of the people I see in the choir when they're singing, there's a radiance. You can tell the people that are singing from the heart. And it's pretty cool. And hopefully, that half hour that we have beforehand, we need to sing from the heart. And it's pretty fun to play in an orchestra and see the words, because I have a vision of the words. And in between, when I have rest, I can sing. And I can still worship. I sometimes don't get in when I'm supposed to, but I need to do what I'm doing. All right, turn to Acts 16. And we will stop at 20 after regardless. Acts 16, this is where Paul and Silas encounter with a girl who for several days proclaimed these men are bond slaves of the Most High God. That's a devil, a demon in her, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. You would think that he would think that's a good thing, but the text says they did this for several days, and finally it said Paul was greatly annoyed by the demon. So he cast it out. Now the people who were making money off this girl got mad and dragged Paul and Silas to the marketplace. Starting in verse 22, the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, after receiving such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. I don't know if you know much about stocks back then, but they were like this. Their legs were like this. It wasn't like this, like you see in the movies. It was pretty uncomfortable. So they'd been beaten, and then they were in an uncomfortable position. I know I would pray, Lord, take me home. I'm serious. Wouldn't you? But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Why do you think they did that? Why do you think they were praying and singing hymns of praise to God? Once again, this isn't terribly scriptural. Why do you think they did that? They were hurting. These guys were hurting. And they wanted to give God glory. So they did the only thing they knew. They prayed and started to sing hymns. You know, they probably were thankful they got to suffer for Christ. I know that was the attitude. I praise the Lord that I get to suffer for Christ. But they went to singing hymns. And they took a situation where we would say, what is there possibly to be thankful for here? What happened after this? You remember what happened? Earthquake? the jailer got saved. And if it wouldn't have been for the godliness of Paul and Silas in yucky situations, it wouldn't have happened. You just never know. Number two, and you don't have to look these up because you know all these verses. Keep in mind what is really going on. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." So, review, we get saved, we have good works to do. If we got saved and didn't have any good works to do, God could take us right to heaven. Why don't we die right when we get saved? Because he has good works for us to do. Sometimes we don't know what those good works are. Our definition of good and God's definition of good could be different. Those good works may mean caring for an elderly parent full time. Those good works might mean fight a disease for years and being a godly. The good works that will make me more godly may not line up with what we think good works are. You know, it's not what fun things am I going to do for the Lord today. It might be what I have to persist in, persevere in. Don't make the mistake of good works always being good for me. It's actually what's good for God and what will give him glory. Remember, that's our goal. Romans 8, 28, 29, you know that too. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. So we can trust what is happening in our lives because he wants us to grow in godliness. That's basically what he says. And then Philippians, it is said in verse 13, it says, "For it is God who is at work in you both to will and for his good pleasure." MacArthur says, "God energizes both the believer's desires and his actions. The word will indicate that he is not focusing on mere desires or emotion, but on the studied intent of a fulfilled plan purpose. God's power makes his church willing to live godly lives." So, what I did was I combined these three verses. When I got saved, God put in place his plan for good works that we are to be doing. So in that process, God causes all these good and bad things that come into our lives, which are his good works, to have a purpose so that it will work out for my good, the completion of those works, for his glory and for my maturity. So never forget that at all times God is at work in you so that you can do these things for his good pleasure. And I just combined all three of those verses. That helps me be thankful. That's my entire life, whether you like it or not. But if I'm being faithful to him, I can be thankful. That helps me not only be thankful for everything, but also generates praise to him that he cares enough about me and my maturity that he wants me to be conformed to his image. That makes me thankful. And then, as I say to my first graders, I want your eyeballs. And they, you know, I want them to look at me. Don't look at the next verse. What do you think the opposite of thankfulness is? Don't look at the next verse.
Grumbling.
So it says, "Do not, for it's God who works in you for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and disputing." That's the opposite of being thankful. And why do we want to do that? It says right there, "So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of this rotten world, among whom you will appear as lights in the world." Point number three, pray for your concerns. Philippians 4, we've been over that 1,000 times. Last question, what if it seems like there's nothing to be thankful for? There are times in our life where we think, okay, seriously, God, I know I'm supposed to be thankful. I can't come up with anything right now. What do you think you should do? Well, I'll let you have a chance to answer that. But here's the things that this isn't going to last forever. I know, that's not very comforting. But it isn't. Maybe 100 years? Maybe? It's not going to last forever. And I'm thankful what's waiting for me. You know, it'd be comforting enough that it's not going to last forever. But what's waiting for you in your faithfulness? Heaven. And what else is waiting for you in heaven? Rewards for your obedience during your faithfulness during those trying times. And then train yourself to think of something to be thankful for in your situations. And in discussion group, I have some things, and you're going to come up with things to be thankful for. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a tough quiz. So we can be thankful because God is working in your life, whether you like it or not. I'm so thankful He is not satisfied with me being a mediocre Christian, that He constantly prods and constantly wants me to be doing something, and He does that through our trials, what we're learning in our life. Like I said, when I got married, which I never wanted to be, I got married, it was the most eye-opening thing to how selfish I lived my life. And then I had children. And that was the most eye-opening thing I had. And then I had three children. And that, you know, the Lord took me along. You can't be single. You'll never get this. I mean, that's what He told me. You've got to be married. You've got to have kids that require your attention. And He brought me along, and I'm so thankful He has. All right, let's pray again. Lord, thank You for the thought of thankfulness. I just thank You how You, Scripture is so clear about how we're to handle this. And I just pray that this will come to our minds often this week, that we do have so much to be thankful for. And it's not the physical part, but the spiritual ways You work in our lives. Help us to remember that when trials come into our life, that we will stop and say, okay, how can I give You glory in this situation, and go from there. Just thank You for these ladies' attention, and I pray that You will bless our time together in the discussion group and help everything that we say to be glorifying to You. In Your precious name, amen.